Welcome back from the weekend. A lot of cleaning up going on in Logan at the moment, Marto.
Sure is, mate. There's stuff everywhere.
And we're going to have a chat to one of the SES guys that brought the family off the roof.
Amazing stuff. Gordy Tallis talks a bit about the way the NRL disrespected Cameron Smith after he broke the all-time most wins record. I completely agree with that.
Also, I took you guys to a day on the green with Cyndi Lauper, and yet the chat turned into Justin Bieber. Who knew?
It was unnecessary.
Eventually, this is what's going to happen. The kids that are young now, in 50 years' time, they're going to go be and seeing whoever's left from One Direction, Demi Lovato Justin Bieber at a day on the green. That's what's
going to
happen.
It's going to get worse because we're all going to live to 140.
That's true, isn't it? That is true.
Oh, you're so depressing, you two.
Height for Hire's reliable fleet of booms and scissor lifts. 1-800-HEIGHT or heightforhire.com.au.
For celebrities, it was a weekend of love.
I
put it to you? There were two very famous Peters got married on the weekend. Which one would you have gone to? The wedding of Peter Siddle or the wedding of Peter Stefanovic?
Is this a trick question?
No, just a straight up and down. I didn't see much of the Sylvia Jeffries, but I do know a little of the Peter Siddle wedding. Can we just put them side by side?
Yeah, please do. Why don't you lay them out for me and then I can choose.
Which one do you want me to start with?
I can tell you about the Stefanovic.
Well, you handle the Stefanovic. What happened down there?
Okay, so Sylvia Jeffries and Peter Stefanovic got married. There was a lot of controversy leading into this wedding because Carl was not allowed to bring his new girlfriend and his ex-wife and kids didn't go. He was best man. And I knew one of the bridesmaids, Alison Ariotti, who is the weekend newsreader at Channel 9 here, otherwise known as Fletch.
So was anyone who didn't work for Channel 9 allowed to go?
It was purely,
that's the way you meet your husband. That's how it all happens now, isn't it? That's the only, you don't leave the building.
It was a beautiful wedding at Kangaroo Valley. It looked like there was no expense spared. They had a drone taking photos.
They didn't pay for their wedding, did they?
I don't know, actually.
Of course they didn't pay for the wedding. It's on the TV this morning.
Yeah,
that's
well,
what paid
a bit
for
of that
their
going
wedding.
On.
Ah, a bit of contra.
It looked fabulous.
Okay. Why wouldn't they have made them do it as part of Married at First Sight?
Oh, my God.
Because it might last.
That wouldn't work, would it?
No. Stefanovic wants a wife. What a show.
Well, there's still he'll
be on Last Resort, that next one that's coming
that's
up.
Right. Stefanovic, because you got two shows all there. Right. Stefanovic wants a wife. Yes. And then in a couple of years' time, you can do Stefanovic now wants to get rid of that wife. And then you got another show, Stefanovic wants a new girlfriend. And then you've got another new show, which is Channel 9 Publicity has to backdate when he met that girlfriend.
Stefanovic's wife meets the girlfriend.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, so tell me about Siddle, Peter Siddle.
I wanted to go to that wedding. Definitely, I tell you about this, you will go, gee, the Stefanovic one looks good. Peter Siddle married his longtime partner, Anna Weatherlake. Yeah, righto. We'll just start off. The couple's four rescue dogs were there, walked down the aisle. Now, these dogs aren't very big and they're white and they're fluffy. There'd be a lot of animals in the world who regard them as toilet paper. They're nice and soft.
They've got four rescue dogs walked down the aisle.
They're fluffy muffins.
I read on, I didn't realise. Now, I knew that he was eating far too many bananas, and you and I have spoken about this.
Ruined his career.
Yep.
When he went vegan, ruined his career.
This was a full vegan wedding. In fact, the bridal dress was made from vegan fabrics.
What?
What does that mean?
I don't know what that means.
Hemp.
What does that mean?
Hemp, maybe.
Well,
but
cotton's a vegan fabric,
what
isn't
does
it?
That look like? Well, that's
no,
a vegan
animals
fabric.
Animals died to make cotton.
It was a full vegan menu. Full vegan menu, including a vegan dessert station. Guests included North Melbourne captain, is that the football, Jack Zeeble. Ricky Ponting was there. Mitch Marsh was there.
Hunter would have hated it.
What's a vegan dessert station?
What's vegan beer taste like is what I'm wondering. James Pattinson, Aaron Finch was there, and the couple hoped a honeymoon mid-year.
Now, do you think, going back to a few years, do you reckon Alan
Dennis
Border's
Lilly's wedding?
Wedding. How many rescue dogs and vegans were at Alan Border's wedding, do you reckon?
Not that many. Not so much.
Oh, my God, the world.
Tomato Ed and Robin, the new Triple M. We're right now looking for everyday heroes following the flooding around Logan.
Well, we got Bill. Hey, Bill, you're from Eaton's Landing. I don't suppose it affected you, or did you go and have a look?
We got a bit of flooding in a couple streets nearby, but we were able to get out and so forth.
Yeah.
But do you want to give a shout out?
Jim Boomba?
Yeah. As I was saying before, big shout out to all the locals out at Jimboomba and Flagstone that helped out to all the locals there because they got inundated for about 4 or 5 days with no power, so lost all their food. And a few of the good locals jumped out in their tinnies and were doing trips from one side of Jimboomba to the other to help people get up to the local Woolworths that wasn't flooded in.
How do you know that? Do you have a family member or someone who was impacted?
Yeah. My brother, he's out there with his wife and 5 kids, and they got stuck out there with no power, no food, and, they got a lift in the tinny from one side of the river to the other, and where my other brother met him down there and took him up to the shop so he could get some food.
Oh, wow. What are they doing for things like mobile phone? They got a Jenny?
I suppose they were just using their car chargers. That was about it. A Jenny would have been very handy, though. But, yeah, unfortunately, they didn't have one.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate that, mate. Thank you for that. Now we're joined by Jim from the SES in Logan. G'day, Jim.
G'day, guys.
You would have seen some good people doing some great things over the weekend.
Oh, mate, the Orange family just stand up when they have to. The Orange family are fantastic.
It was full on, though, wasn't it? I mean, the floodwaters seemed to come up very, very quickly. We had lots of images from Friday right through the weekend of families sitting on their roofs.
Yeah, pretty full on. There was a little bit of warning. I mean, we knew it was coming, but probably not to the extent that it happened.
Now, Jim, you're one of the guys that actually assisted the family whose house floated away. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
What happened?
Pretty much we got the call at about 3 o'clock that there was a family stuck on the roof. So a couple of my members and myself got our nearest available boat, put it in the very, very swollen Albert River, pushed ourselves as hard as we could to get up to the river, called on locals on the way up to find out where they were, because where the river wasn't where the river should have been, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Jim, can I ask, I remember the Brisbane flood. You couldn't, if your boat wasn't powerful enough, you couldn't push against the current. How fast can you possibly go, and how fast was the current?
Our boats can get up to around about 25 knots, I believe, and we were flat out, and we were probably just doing walking speed.
Jesus.
So it took us about an hour to travel approximately a bit over a kilometre and a half to actually get to the family themselves.
Right. And when you got there, Jim, and the family was stuck on the roof of their house, stranded, what do you do? How do you get them off safely?
Well, pretty much in this situation, we relied heavily on our training. Chris the coxswain put the boat up against the house as best as it could. We secured it. Then we just basically went on instinct, walked around to the side of the house. There was a little awning we could walk on, so we walked there, grabbed the first child, walked them back, put them in the boat, then the second child, then mum, then granddad, who was inside with a couple of huskies, didn't want to leave, didn't want to come out of the house, and we had to sort of like insist that he comes out of the house, and in hindsight, a damn good thing we did, get him out of the house with his huskies.
But how was he in the house if you were tied to the roof? How high was the water?
It was a two-story house, and the water on the second story was probably a bit over ankle deep, about mid-calf on the second story. He was standing in that. And the mum and the kids had gone up onto the roof for safety.
So how much after you got that family did that house float away?
That's hard to say, Robin, with the adrenaline, but we're thinking somewhere between 10 and 15 minutes when we were sitting on the bank. It cracked, the massive crack, and then it just floated away and just broke up, as you've probably seen the footage on the ABC. It just broke away and smashed up.
God, mate.
So what happens to that family? I mean, they've lost everything, haven't they?
Yeah, look, they've definitely lost everything. I mean, I've heard a lot of people have been flooded and they're saying, oh, we've lost everything. And that's true, don't get me wrong, but these guys really did. They don't even have a house to go back to clean. They've got absolutely nothing left. The neighbours took them in pretty quickly, obviously. The neighbours were all standing on the bank at, 4 o'clock in the morning doing their bit, so as far as I know, I spoke briefly with one of the neighbours that took them in yesterday, and they're all fine. Obviously, they're happy to be alive, but, they seem to be doing okay.
Jim, how many SES boys and girls did you have out and about on the weekend?
That's difficult to say, mate, but I think somewhere in the vicinity of around about 150 would have been down here, but they're not all mine. They've come from all over the southeast region. I mean, most of my guys were activated, but my friends from the Gold Coast, Somerset, Ipswich, they all came to help. you know, we put out the word, and, you know, the Orange family is amazing. Yeah. When you ask for help, they turn up.
You're incredible.
Hey, Jim from the SES in Logan, thanks for speaking to us this morning. Now, people will be listening to this, Jim, and they're going to want to help. What would your advice be to people who are just, you know, everyday folk listening to this right now that want to help? What would your advice to them be?
My advice would be to go onto the Volunteering Queensland website, register that you want to help, and then they will coordinate where you can go. We've been inundated with people coming here, and it's not that we don't want the help, but we can't use them, whereas Volunteering Queensland knows where the resources need to go.
Right, very good. So awesome. If anyone's got some usefulness about them or just wants to help out, that's the way. Good on you, mate.
That, for sure. No worries.
Boys, there's four of us in the studio. Here's a quick quiz. How many of you have a will?
Nope.
Right, deathly silence. Mm. Absolutely. Mardo, you've got children. Do you have a will?
I've got a power of attorney about 10 years ago when Kath and I went away without the kids. That's not a will, though. That's
not really. So what would happen to your house?
Oh, well, God, who wants to take over the bill?
Okay.
Who wants to take over the mortgage? Oh, I don't know. I don't think about that.
Ed, you're super organised and you're just about to have a child. Have you got a will?
No, I don't, because I think if I do it, then it means I'm going to, you know, die.
So, yeah, that's a negative thought.
Like
a
jinx. Great. Yeah. Okay, so we're all in complete denial with our heads in the sand. Yes, I do. Oh. Yes, I do, because my husband died intestate without a will, and I know how absolutely awful it can be. So,
but if you're still around, does it matter? I thought if he died and you're around, can't you just go, well, I'm the wifey, away we go.
Okay, let's get some goss on actually what happens with wills in Brisbane. We have Paul Gleeson from Paul Gleeson Lawyers. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Robin. How are you?
Yeah, good. Tell these guys you need a will, right?
You definitely need a will. Later. The statistics are 100% of us die.
Yes, I'll go with that.
But why do I need a will? What happens if I have it?
Well, if you don't have a will, our legislation regulates how your estate's passed. So if you think about it, you work all your life creating your own wealth, you accumulate assets, you inherit things. You should have a say in how you want that to go once you've passed away.
But wouldn't my if my partner's still around, can't she sort that out?
Look, she can, but she has to be appointed by the court to look after your estate. If you've done a will, she's automatically appointed. But the thing is, if you don't have a will, your partner doesn't necessarily get the whole estate. If you have children, she only gets up to a third of the estate plus $150,000 in cash. So if you have a situation where you own the family home and you've got more than one child, if you don't have a will, your wife will only own one third of that home and your children will own the other two thirds. Oh. So it makes it a bit difficult for the spouse to move on.
And let's be honest, Paul Gleeson, in lawyer, you know that this stuff ends up in court. Nothing breaks families apart quicker than a will.
Mate, where there's a will, there's a relative, but where there's a will, there's a way. You definitely need a will because you need to have that final say to make sure who you leave behind are looked after, the inheritance is protected and can't be attacked. The most common concern I have is our divorce rate is nearly 1 in 2. So I have mums and dads saying, well, how are we going to protect the inheritance if my son gets divorced, if my daughter gets divorced? By doing a will, you can do that.
Okay, so how many people don't have wills?
Well, in Australia, the public trustee statistics are about one third of us die without a will. Like Holmes Accord, he had his will in his suitcase for a few years, but he never signed it. He was one of the richest men in Australia.
And that doesn't matter. It doesn't count.
Not at all.
How long does it take me and how much does it cost me?
Look,
it
depends on how difficult you want to be with preparing a will. You can do a basic will with the public trustee for free.
Yeah.
If you want to impose sort of asset protection strategies, they can go up to $2,000. A will normally takes about a day to prepare, unless I quite often get called out to hospitals where I do bedside wills.
Oh,
and the person then dies that night or the next day.
Oh, what?
Wow. So certainly do your shopping around, but you just want to make sure what you have in place reflects your wishes and it's going to provide protection to your spouse and your kids for the next generation.
There'd be some juicy ones.
And let me just say from personal experience, just think about who you would want your children to live with if they're under 18 and both of you, or in my case as a single parent, were to die. What would happen to my kids?
Oh, God, not with their godparents.
All right, that's it. That's plenty of information there, Paul Gleeson.
We've scared Ed.
From Paul Gleeson in Lawyers in the City on George Street. Gleeson, thanks, mate, for speaking to us today. Has anyone been through this? Let's find out if there's any stories out there. Have you had a situation where there's been no will or wills caused troubles? Have you had one of these family disputes over something in a will or somebody that's had no will? You can always remain anonymous if you need to.
Neville of Ipswich, what happened in your family? Did it get messy?
I've got putrid. My mother died with a will.
but she wrote it out years ago when she thought she was worth maybe $50,000, but the property was worth just short of $1 million.
Oh, yeah.
And the relish came out of the woodwork, the family that hadn't seen it for 30 years. We got sued by charities because we weren't giving one charity as much as we gave another one.
What? You can't do that, can you?
Oh, yeah. Look, a will means nothing. A will isn't worth the paper it's written on, especially if it's not written correctly. And my brother sued because he didn't like the way the headstone was written. He thought his name should have come first.
Oh.
And so he wanted it. And they all won. That's the thing. They all won. Wow. And, you know, in the end, it cost her $600,000 in her grave, you know.
And did the lawyers win, Neville? Did the lawyers have a win?
No, not really. Oh, no, rubbish. We could have. look, they got paid. Well, look, maybe theirs did. And as it worked out, because we're named in the will, we could have just kept it in court for years and went, well, bugger you, you'll get nothing. We'll give it all to the solicitors.
Yeah, right, okay.
We could have done that, but we didn't do that because that's not what my mother would have wanted.
Got to move on. But you're right. There you go, Nev. But you said, importantly there, Robin, which is something that you spoke about, which is if it's not written correctly.
Yes.
So you can also have a will, but if it's not done properly, that you might even have troubles like Nev did.
What, can a will be too old? I didn't know there was an expiry date. It's not like peanut paste.
What I've learnt too is that unless every single person is mentioned, then you can have issues with people contesting. You've got to get the right person to do it. Like, seriously, Chris of Springfield, what happened with yours?
Well, my wife was unexpectedly made executor and one of the beneficiaries of the will of an old friend. But the problems occurred because this woman, she didn't want her children to get a cent. Didn't want them to get a cent of this money. But they weren't mentioned in the will.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently you have to actually mention them in the will, even if only to say, I don't want these people to get money because of...
Whoa, we're learning something.
The solicitor who wrote this up for her obviously either didn't know it or didn't bother to tell her. And it caused all kinds of problems because she had five estranged children. It could have the potential to get very messy.
Yep.
Well.
They are entitled. They're legally entitled because they're a descendant.
So you get to mention all your hate for everyone.
Yeah,
this is
do.
Great.
It's as much important to say who you don't want, like. Which is certainly something that I'm doing in my will. There are certain people that I don't want my children to end up with.
Name
and you have
them
to.
Now.
I'm not going to name them. And if they were listening, they'd certainly know who they were. Paul, Beachmere.
Can you put that in the will? You know who you are.
No. I name them in the will. Paul of Beachmere.
How you going?
What happened with you, bud?
Look, it's a long story, so I'll cut it short. Yeah. But I've in the last 12 months, lost my sister first, then my mother, then my father. And my two parents died without a will, and my sister died with a will, but she included 20 beneficiaries. She had quite a bit of money, and of course, we've had to sell the business that she had. And it's been in and out of probate a couple of times, and then there's been one contested amount of money as one recipient was written up as 10%, but then in the wording was written 20%. And so it had to go back to the courts, and it's been to and froing for a little over a year.
What are you suggesting? What's your wrap up? Yeah. Should everyone get a will?
Look, the wrap up is, get a will in place and make it rock solid. It doesn't mean you're going to die right now. It just means that you're protecting your money. All that money that you've earned goes to the right people who deserve it, you know?
You got to get the right people to do it. You really do.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't do it yourself. You can get a will kit and do it yourself, but to make it rock solid, spend the extra money and get a solicitor to write it up properly.
Okay. Thank you so much, Paul. Now, the three of you in here, has it changed your views on getting a will?
Yeah, I'll go and get it. I will go and get a will shortly. If nothing else, just to start naming people that are getting nothing.
Yeah.
That's good fun, that
is. You know what you've done if you're not in this.
Whatever's motivating you, and it's a good thing.
It's the EMMM.
Well, the rain came, the floodwaters came Friday. They're slowly going down, but it's been desperate time for anyone around the Logan and Albert areas. And the member for Waterford, which is right in the middle of that, is Shannon Fentiman. Good morning, Shannon.
Morning.
How's everything looking over the weekend for you?
Well, so much water, just right across Logan City. And, of course, now the cleanup begins.
Your house was impacted too, wasn't it, Shannon?
Yeah, it was, Robin. Like a number of members of my community, my property and my home was inundated. So the roads around my house are actually still cut off. I managed to get in there yesterday. And, yeah, look, it's pretty terrible. It's muddy and it's pretty stinky, but you know, I'm lucky. You know, I'm okay. My animals are okay. And look, you know, I'm insured. There are so many in our community that have lost everything and are not insured. And you know, they're my priority over the coming days and weeks.
Do you reckon everyone got enough warning about the Logan and Albert? Because that came all of a sudden on Friday. I know the paper was printing that they'd had 700 or 800 mils up in the hills behind there. But do you reckon the great member for Logan gave everyone enough notice?
Look, I mean, I think everyone did what they could, you know, the Bureau, the Council, but we just experienced a huge amount of rain in the catchment, and the catchment was already pretty soggy, so the waters just rose so much faster than anyone really predicted. But, you know, good on our fantastic SES and QFES workers who came in there, and, you know, there were families on their roofs at Eagleby that were rescued, and, you know, it's incredible that we've come through this huge disaster with so many families being safe at the end of it.
What if some of these families need money straight away? What can they do?
Yeah, well, they can call our hotline, 1800 173 349. Or there is a community recovery hub now being set up at the Beenleigh Entertainment Centre. So if anyone's struggling for food, water, clothing, medicine, that's absolutely where they should go, and the state government is here to help.
Talking to Shannon Fentiman, the member for Waterford, Minister for Communities, just if you give us that number one more time for folks that need to access relief funds.
Yep, 1800 173 349 or head to the Beenleigh Event Centre.
And Shannon, for the rest of us, the rest of Brisbane who may not be impacted like you guys are, what can we do?
Anyone can make a donation to Give It, and it can be goods or cash. And the good thing about Give It is if you make a cash donation, they actually try and buy the goods that people need in the local area. So it's supporting local businesses who have also been affected.
How do you spell Give It? How do you spell Give It? Because it'll always have some internet spelling. Yeah. How do you spell that?
G-I-V-I-T. And anyone that wants to volunteer, like Logan community is famous for its spirit and everyone coming together to get through times like this. So head on to emergencyvolunteering.com.au register that you want to volunteer, and the council will be deploying teams of volunteers over the next week.
Okay, Shannon Fentiman, member for Waterford, Minister for Communities. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely, no problem.
And good luck with your own cleanup, Shannon.
Yeah, thanks. Getting the gumboots out and getting a bit muddy, I think. Yeah, right. Thanks, guys. Now on Triple M, we're checking in with
Gordy Tallis. Tallis. Everyone loves Tallis. Well, it's time for Legends and Lemons. Morning, Gordy.
Good morning, guys. How are we going?
Yeah. Do you want to start with the good or bad, mate? Legends?
I did it last week. I think it's got to be Melbourne Storm. The way they defended the other day against Penrith, the youngest side that loves throwing the ball around, and Cameron Smith, obviously breaking all the records. The lemon is the NRL.
Right.
Is this guy's broke every record of the game and no one heard about it. So that's there wasn't the NRL there that's doing a thing. When he broke the moment, give him the match ball, do this, give him that's something true. In life. There's only one record that he won't break if he keeps on going, and that is the most tries for the game. So he'll break the most test matches, most origins,
points?
Most points as a forward. You know, and that's an unbelievable stat for someone that's played right in the middle of the field with so much traffic around him.
Talking about middle of the field, have you ever seen anyone tackle a halfback to make 41 tackles before? Daly Terry Evans the other night.
I reckon we made Terry Lamb back in the day when Brian Smith was coaching us. They used to call them spot players, and not because they couldn't tackle, it's because you had to take the energy out of them. So like when you run out the halfbacks these days, it's actually just to take their energy out and attack. So I reckon we made Terry Lamb do about 46 one semi-final. And the worst thing is Terry Lamb could tackle, so no one wanted to run. Yeah, so like everybody did one each, and then you had to put your hand up to do the second one.
Hey, Gordy, where are you?
I'm actually in Sydney, and it's pouring down rain. So I just walked in because I thought it was going to be quieter in a coffee shop, which it wasn't, so I'm walking back out on the street.
He's in a coffee
shop. Is that bad? Can you hear it? Oh, well, see.
Nah, it's all right.
The phone.
It's okay, good. Yeah. It's okay. Hey, one before we let you go.
I've got a paper coffee in Sydney, guys. You probably realise that.
It's a disaster.
Aren't you Gordy Tallis in Sydney?
Yeah, I am, actually. But I just ran into another Fox colleague, little Cozzy. Cozzy, so we're all staying at the same hotel. And guess what? A rock star just walked out. Paul Kelly just walked out of the same hotel.
Yeah,
and I was tempted to go and ask him for selfie. A photo, but I didn't.
But don't lovely. Forget, he's from Melbourne. He would go, who is that tall bloke? That bald bloke looks like Shrek.
He's got a flat nose like a rugby league player, so he might have run into a couple of parked cars in his day, Paul Kelly.
All right, Zach, good. We'll hear you on the M's. We'll see you on Fox Sports. See
you,
mate.
Thank you.
Now, I found this article across the weekend. It was brought to my attention. I thought, ooh, it's going to love this. Mm. It's this English professor, and he's talking about diabetes. Now, let me just throw some stats at you, and keeping in mind these are UK stats. But nearly 4 million people in the UK suffer from diabetes, and approximately 90% of those are type 2 diabetes sufferers. So type 1 is the one that you often develop in childhood and you need to have insulin to be able to correct it. It is something out of your control and is a genetic, or at least it's a disease that impacts your body, right?
I understand. I've got mates with it.
Okay. Type 2, however, and this is what this professor is saying. His name is Sir Muir Gray, and he said it should be renamed walking deficiency syndrome. Because it is not a real disease. Yeah. And he reckons it's a lifestyle choice. And if people chose to walk more, then they wouldn't
end up...
So
it's a circulation problem. This is one where they lop off toes and stuff.
Ed? I don't know about the toe lopping. Because this one, it's certainly not good for
you. You get type
2
diabetes. You have no... You have no circulation. That's why they start lopping off toes.
Gangrene.
And then they lop off feet. And then they lop off below the knees. Oh, this is where it ends up.
Yeah, well, he's saying
you
if these people
move
more...
You get blokes who get to 200 kilograms, that's what happens. There's no blood, there's no circulation at all in their toes and their feet. And it's all a horrible thing.
But the whole concept, the whole premise of this is that people are bringing this on themselves.
Oh,
and
God.
That he's saying, I know that, but no one seems to want to... You know, if you call it a disease...
Oh, I see.
Then there's an assumption that this is something that has happened
that you've
to
caught.
You. That you've caught. And he's saying the way to alter... For type 2 diabetics, and I'm not someone who has it, but is that you have to rename it so people go, actually, I have some responsibility for my own health in this.
Here's my one for you, Robin.
Okay.
Here's my question for you.
Yep.
Because it's about, I think in 2015, the Fairfax Press were reporting that obesity was costing about $130 billion overall to the economy.
Yep.
World economy or Australia?
Yeah, right. So that's... it's jumping up a lot. That's Australia's economy.
Yeah.
So, you're right. And type 2 diabetes is something that a lot of anything you ever read about, it's like, well, if you lost some weight or you moved more, then this wouldn't be a bigger problem as it is, or may not be a problem at all. But how have we got to the point as a society, Robin and Marto, and Marto, I know you love talking about this sort of thing, where you can't say it. Like, you can't say, hang on, you know what? You may have caused yourself some of this, and you might be doing it to your family as well, and it's probably, it's not going to be a healthy way to live your life.
So you're saying don't call it type 2 diabetes, be right up front, it's the fatty boomba, you don't move enough, not even disease.
Why am I even nervous
talking about it, and yet your wife has done so much. Like, Tiff is all about moving, and she's made her career about getting people fitter, and she was on The Biggest Loser trying to get contestants into a space.
Yeah, but the part of the reason that she left was that she didn't like, because whenever she would deal with people, and she'll say this better than I will, whenever she would deal with people, she would find out that it was never about the weight. It was always about something else.
Emotional.
And so she would get people... up and about, and she stays in contact with a lot of her contestants, and then it was always about something else in their life, and it was manifested in the weight on their body.
So would that be the
same?
She
didn't like it because they just didn't keep getting the support after they left the show. So that's one of the reasons she left. So it's often about something else.
So would that be the same for type 2 diabetes?
Well, the type 2 diabetes, unfortunately, would be seen a lot in and around these people.
You are nervous about talking about it, though. I find that really interesting.
Because this is the world. This is the world we live in. As soon as we finish this break, you're going to click onto, and I hate to say it, Robin, but Mamma Mia and those sort of people, breakfast host slam hardworking Aussies as M&M addicts. You know, that's the world.
Well, we'll get in trouble for fat shaming and stuff like that. That's what you're doing. You brought it up.
I'm not fat shaming. I am not fat shaming.
Well, you are. You're saying people who don't move enough.
I'm saying that some professor is now saying that we need to actually own this stuff and that for those that are not moving, we call it a syndrome so that they take some personal responsibility. I don't think that's fat shaming.
Have you got an idea, though?
What do you mean?
How's it going to work? Well, what do you want to change it to?
I think that, well, I mean, he's saying, what is it? The walk.
I've had the same idea for a long time.
Eat less, walk more.
It's just simple. Yeah. Ready for this? This is simple. Every supermarket, just the lollies aisle, is actually a treadmill. And it's set at 12. And if you can survive, if you can get to the end, you can have whatever you want.
I've got another one. There's a certain size doorway at the end of any of those chip and soft drink and lolly aisles. If you can't fit through that, you ain't allowed to have it.
Okay, and you're telling me I'm fat shaming.
Nah, that's a bit of fun.
You
brought it up, and we're trying to deliver solutions here.
Come on, Robin, they're solid ideas. Let's be about solutions
here. Walking deficiency syndrome. Let's just start with that.
Yeah, that's a good start. And the short time you've been here, Robin Bailey, something we've learned about you is that you love your live music.
I do love my live music, and I'm a particular fan of A Day on the Green.
This is the third one since the last 3 months.
James Taylor was really good.
But isn't there another one you went to?
I go to pretty much all of them because I just think they're so much fun. When you went in your chopper, Mardo, you flew over the top and you thought that's a very cool thing to do.
Oh, it's a very impressive looking place.
I know. Whereas I go.
You actually go.
So I'm that person and I go with my girlfriends. But yesterday we had Cyndi Lauper and Blondie. We also had The Clouds, who I didn't actually know who they were, but I've been informed that they were the soundtrack of a lot of people's uni years.
Yeah, right. Deborah Harry has to be getting on.
Deborah Harry is 71.
Wow.
Still going?
Yeah, man. She's still going. She came out in a smock, which says, what was it? We've stopped destroying our beeping planet. And it was all glittery, and so the lights kind of bounced off it. And she had bees on her head.
Bees on it.
Yeah, like two big bumblebee, like because when the bees die, the world dies.
Did she make any, a lot of artists come here and want to make current affair and regional references. Did she make any reference to Cyclone Debbie?
No.
Because she could be the most famous Debbie in the world.
She didn't. Wow. I didn't even pick that up.
Oh, God. Who's going to write the stuff for her?
Didn't Cyndi Lauper not know where she was?
Yeah, that's right.
What?
She said, hello, Brisbane, I still have no idea where I am. She flew in, and they were only about half an hour before they actually were due to go on stage. Do you want to hear some of them? This is a bit of Cyndi.
Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah, she did True Colours and also Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Okay.
That sounds like Cyndi Lauper. Come on.
That's fine. That was
good.
Fine.
63.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay,
okay, here's that's Girls fine. Just Want to Have Fun.
How old is she?
63. She's rocking in a pair of black leather pants, man oh man, and her pink hair. Okay, let's go on to Blondie. Blondie was the headliner, and she's 71.
Wait, just stop. A 63-year-old singing that song still.
Yeah.
Bopping around in her apartment in New York. She's 63.
63. Yeah. She's good, man.
Girls just want a cup of tea and a lie down.
Yeah, go to the bowls club and pull the pokies for a while. The girls really want to do.
They don't. We were rocking it with Cyndi. It was all good. Okay, Blondie. Blondie came on. She was the headline act.
Yeah. Oh, she was ranked high.
Yeah, Debbie
Harry. What time did she come on?
8 o'clock.
It's a bit late for a 70. Well, 70 odd year old.
Have a listen, see what you think. Okay, the mixing's not great. But, you know, hey, she sang live. A lot of people don't.
You would have had a few warm wines by then. It would have been okay. Would have sounded
all right.
Can you
imagine in 50 years' time? Whoever's doing this job, they're going to sit down and they'll go, and the person sitting next to them will go, oh, whoever it is from Married at First Sight will say, you went to A Day on the Green yesterday. And they'll say, yeah, we saw Justin Bieber. And they go, oh, how old's Justin Bieber now? Is he Still getting around with the pants around the ankles and chasing monkeys.
Chasing monkeys.
What's a monkey?
He had a monkey. Didn't he have a, he had a monkey for a while, then he chased after it, and then he just left it.
Didn't he leave it in Germany?
Anna was pregnant. It's terrible. Sorry.
Ed Cavalli, can we just note that you actually know that?
Yeah. All I knew is that he egged his neighbours in LA. I didn't know about the monkey.
That's when I turn on. When pop stars start buying monkeys, that's when I'm like, all right, now we're getting interesting.
Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.